Talk radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Let's go.
Not without our signature. Here we go.
Yes, sir.
Talking sports with the 12th man. Hey, man, you ain't tagging me, bro. You ain't tagging me. You can franchise tag JQ or Rob. You ain't tagging me, bro. It ain't happening. I'm just saying, man.
Well, you do. Give me that $18 million. Give me that. I'm about to say that. Freaking Bell getting tagged, and he's going to be guaranteed at least $14 million.
I want the long term, man. I don't want the short term.
Hey, listen, I can make that $20 million work.
You make it work, player. Oh, man.
Hey, I'll take the kicker franchise tag.
Man, so that's crazy, man. You know, like, we're regular dudes, man. You know, we would probably get franchise tags in a minute. But, yeah, yes, please. NBA player, or excuse me, NFL player.
Dancing.
No part of it. Anyway, let's have some fun. March the 17th, or excuse me, man, where am I in March?
Uh-oh.
I apologize.
Hey, you skipping
March
ahead.
March 7th. Man,
you ready to get that party going.
I'm ready to roll. Okay. If I get myself together here, May the 7th, thank you very much.
What?
Talking sports with 12th man on this Wednesday. How y'all doing? JQ, what's going on, bro? You doing all right?
It ain't May the 7th, bro. What are you?
I said March the 7th. Go back to
the
7th.
No, you said May the 7th. Are we going to let you go?
March the 7th, so it's all good. How you doing, Cini? Oh, man.
I'm good, but I'm trying to get where you are. Where are you partying at on March 17th for St. Patrick's Day so I can come because you are ready to get it in.
Yeah. I got a lot of things happening.
To the future.
Yeah.
Right? I want to go.
Got a lot of things going on. I'm kind of scared now that I shouldn't be saying fake chicken steak because now I am kind of scared. It's all good. What's up, bro?
Got that Back to the Future mobile. Hey, listen, he got a party ready to go to it. I want in. Let me get on the buddy pass.
17th. I do have one.
See?
Oh, man. I'm like far ahead. But all right, let's try to get things back under control on March the 7th. How you doing this evening, JQ? How you doing, bro?
I'm good, man. I'm just harassing you, but I'm hanging in there, bro, watching a little basketball this evening. How you doing?
Doing good. It's a fun time. Rob Ford, how you feeling, man?
Doing great, man. Watching my Pelicans trying to get 10 in a row tonight, baby.
Good deal. All right, let's get this party started here. Maybe they will get that. Let's keep this. As always, let's throw out the numbers. I'm kind of scared. Thank you, Jeff, for showing some love, too, as well. But as always,
yes,
to reach out to you boys, 424-243-9519. Follow us in that aspect on Twitter, at the number 12, THMEN Sports. And last but not least, we are on Facebook, facebook.com/talkingsports with the 12th man or 12th man sports. You will find us in that arena as well. So I got to calm down because I'm getting a little too hyped. So, when I get too hyped, everything just goes out the window. So I'm going to try to quickly get everything back under control here. So this is a great first starting topic, too. I love this, Rob. We got the NBA tanking update. I love this. You got the Grizzlies at the Bulls and the Nets at the Hornets, man. So, Rob, let's kick it off, bro.
Well, I tell you, Adams, Silver, he's laying down the hammer in the NBA with the tanking, sending a memo out to the Chicago Bulls not to be resting healthy players. You know, fines are going to be coming. And so wonder what happened, why they weren't doing this when the 76ers were tanking all those years. And now all of a sudden, the process is working for the Sixers. But the Sixers were tanking about the last 3 to 4 years. in order to get Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and all those high draft picks they were able to get. And now it's such a big deal about the tanking. But I do like it, though, because obviously I think everybody should be playing their hardest on a nightly basis for the integrity of the game. I just wonder where it was, you know, in the last few years. But I'm glad they're starting to put some pressure on these NBA teams. But getting back to that, the Bulls, obviously, like I said, they were the recent team that the NBA sent out a memo to, and they responded tonight with a win, 119-110 over Memphis. Lauri Markkanen, who I think is a promising rookie in the league, 22 points for the Bulls. Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn had 21 each. Justin Holiday, Drew's brother, had 14 points, going 5-for-5 from the field, nailing four three-pointers in the win on tonight. And Robin Lopez got back in the lineup. So the Bulls were forced to play some of their players based on the NBA sending out their memo tonight or a few days ago.
Yeah, I think what happened is that it's an accumulative effect, right? It was like it was the Sixers, and it was kind of funny, ha-ha, but you kind of felt like they was the only one that was really out there. But now you got like eight teams, you know, competing for that last spot, and you got, you know, Mark Cuban, you know, openly talking about it and getting hit with a big fine. So I think it's just, you know, to the breaking point, so to speak, of, okay, now y'all are just getting out of hand with this, you know. Come on now. You know, we got people paying good money for these games. Don't be out here doing this foolishness. And I like Marc Gasol the other day said, that's what we got a G League for. Don't be killing me in my early 30s, killing my prime game. So I like it. I'm with you, Rob. You know, make those guys play. It's unfair to the teams jockeying for playoff position. You know, it's just going to come down to who plays, you know, those tanking teams. They're going to get easier W. So they can't really do a whole lot about it because, I mean, you can start them, but you can only play them a handful of minutes and still say you played them. So I don't know how much Adam can really do this year. But, yeah, the Bulls, like you said, marketing, were coming down the lane with a ridiculous dunk in that Grizzlies mm-hmm. game. I think they got some nice young pieces, and we see where they go from there. But I get Adam. He had to say something because, I mean, it's one thing to kind of do a hush-hush. It's just another thing for, you know, a third of the teams to be doing it and to be talking about it openly. You just can't have that.
Man, but I'm just playing young players, man. I want to see what my young players are doing, bro, man. That's not tanking. I'm just seeing young players, man. Come on, man.
All those players for the Bulls are young.
That's different. And this is the thing I was going to say, too. You know, we're talking about tanking, but it's not like you're even tanking for, like, a LeBron James. I mean, you know, I can see, you know, something to that effect because you don't know, you know, who the next superstar is going to be right now, too, unless you know this is a clear-cut
yeah.
person, too. So, you know, that's an interesting point, too. So, but,
yeah. But this is
yeah.
a very deep NBA draft coming up.
Deep draft.
And a lot
yeah.
of the GMs, of course, they are aware of that. This is one of the deeper NBA drafts that we've had in some time. So there's a lot of talent to be had in this upcoming
yeah.
NBA draft. So there's going to be a lot of jockeying for position. But you should be able to get a solid player deep into this draft here this year.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But are there superstars is the question.
Yeah,
so that's the thing.
And there are some
we'll
potential
stick,
studs
man.
At the top of the draft, too.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
Wow,
I
Toronto
think, like,
came
dude,
back
like,
and won that game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Craziness. Wow.
21-119.
So let's talk about the Cavs here because the Cavs, they went through like a little right after before the All-Star break, they were kind of doing some good things. And then now it kind of appears like the honeymoon, they're going to make some little challenges here. But I guess what did the Cavs have to do, JQ, to get back to the finals?
Second, and third of all, they got to play some damn defense. I mean, every time you see a score of a game of theirs, even when they win, it's like 121-115 or they lost 118-111 or something like that. They're just giving up too many points. So we talked about that, those young guys being re-energized in that team, but they got to get back to some principles of playing defense and not just trying to get up and down the court and playing run and gun. And while it's exciting to watch, you know, you got to play some defense at some point. To me, that's their biggest thing, but we all knew that there was going to be people going to get tape on you. They're going to figure out what you're trying to do. And they're still trying to learn to play. So I never expected them just to go on a rocket 16-game win streak. Like, I didn't think that was going to happen. So to me, it's just a part of the process for them of getting those young guys, still acclimated to the team and trying to figure each other out. And you're going to have some bumps and bruises along the way, but they've got to get to playing some defense. That's the utmost. They can score the ball right now. I mean, there's no problem scoring, but they got to be able to get stops on the other end.
That's my defense outscoring you, bro. Come on, man. Just know about that.
Wow. Yeah.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I think playing defense is a big part of it. I mean, we go back there a few months ago when they gave up 148 to OKC. I mean, that was ridiculous. And it looked like OKC was playing in an all-star game. But I think another key, Tyronn Lue has got to trust what he sees. Tristan Thompson is not the same player he was two, 3 years ago. And obviously, I think it might be a blessing. Well, you know, you never want to root for anybody to get hurt. But I think right now, with him being out, might be a blessing in disguise. You can see that how well that Larry Nance Jr. has played when he's in the starting lineup. And so far tonight, they're on the road and got a close to 15-point lead on the road against Denver tonight without Tristan Thompson. I think he's got to trust what he sees and not be putting players in based on what they've done in the past.
Or the contracts.
He's got the contracts.
Yeah,
he's got to get his best players out on the floor. He's got to get these athletes out on the floor that can get out and defend. And I know Larry Nance Jr. we're going to get ready to talk. I think that's a they have to stick with him in the starting lineup, and that's just going to have to be their front court. When Kevin Love comes back, you got Love, Larry Nance Jr. and LeBron James, and at that point, you know, put your best two defenders in the backcourt as well. And I think you may have something there. But Tristan Thompson, right now, he needs to only be a 10 to 14-minute a game player coming off the bench. He shouldn't be in your starting lineup anymore. He's just not the same player. He doesn't seem to be in that great of shape as well as far as defending and running up and down the court. And Lou just has to trust what he sees.
That Kardashian curse.
There you go. I was going to say that. Tristan Kardashian, man. This is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, we might as well talk about that since we're on the subject. That's hilarious. Since we're already on that, man. I mean, so is Larry Nance, is he the X factor right now for the Lakers, you think, Rob?
Yeah, for the Cavs, yeah, absolutely. I think he is. He brings a different dimension on his team. And I think he's going to be a borderline star playing with this Cavs team. I think he can progress to that type of player. Defending, rebounding, blocking shots, scoring a basketball, hustle type plays. His length, I think, can cause some problems for the other team. I think he could be the guy that could help them to potentially to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. That his energy, and his ability, you know, to defend multiple positions, just to get out there, just hustle. It's one of those things you can't teach. He's out there just hustling and looks to be very rejuvenated and happy to be a part of the future plans, because I think it was starting to wear on him in L.A. when his name started getting popped up before he got traded. So right now I think he feels more liberated. And playing in with LeBron, you know, we talked about that front court. He can cover up a lot of mistakes for Kevin Love. And LeBron, you know, when he's engaged, can also be a plus defender as well. So I agree. I think you're right. Tristan Thompson might be a blessing in disguise. And he's got to see that, hey, nothing is granted for you just because you got that contract. This dude is coming to take your spot. What you going to do about it? So it may work out in multiple things if Tristan Thompson takes that challenge head on. Like, you know, this guy's here, and he ain't going nowhere given the way he's played. So on multiple levels, I think Nance is definitely the X factor for that team.
And I even think when Kevin Love's come back, they can spread the floor a little more. I think Nance can be that guy that's be a player around the rim on the offense, get those offensive rebounds, hustle. You can spread the floor. You can have Love to either post up or to even have him behind a three-point line and knock down those shots as well with having Nance in there to grab those hustle offensive boards. And so I really think he could be the difference between them getting back to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Good call. All right, let's keep this going. Gentlemen, is Damian Lillard a superstar, Rob?
I'm going to say yes, man. This guy, I tell you, obviously he's playing in Portland, and they're playing late every night. Most of the country don't get to see him. But this guy, he's a big-game shooter. I mean, it's countless times that he's knocked down big shots down the clutch. Obviously he's not playing on a championship team, but he's a big-time player. He's a big-time scorer, doesn't mind taking the big shots. I mean, I know J.Q. may not want to hear this, but what he did to the Lakers that night on Monday night, I mean, he's just a big Dame player. It's Dame time. And right now, Portland has moved all the way up to the number 3 seed in the Western Conference. Obviously, there's still a lot of basketball to be played. But I think he has just moved into that superstar stratosphere. I think he's gone from all-star to that superstar stratosphere.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Rob was reluctant. Rob was reluctant to put him in there. I'm not. That dude right there is just playing. It's to the points Rob said, he's playing in Portland where, you know, he's not getting the exposure that everybody else is getting, playing late at night on a team that's not expected to challenge for the title. But listen, I think this year he is leading the league in fourth quarter scoring, kind of like what Isaiah Thomas was doing last year for the Celtics. But, you know, you're going to get that recognition when you do it for Boston, which you won't get the same recognition if you do it for Portland. So I think that's part of his problem, but he's embraced the city of Portland. They said the other day, you know, he had a meeting with the owners just to make sure, you know, they were moving the franchise in the right direction, but he did it real quiet-like, you know, not stomping his feet. But as a superstar, you want to have those discussions with the owners. That's the age we are in the NBA. So I'll give him a ton of credit. And that dude can flat out rhyme. He might be the best MC in the NBA. Like, I don't know if you really heard Dame, you know, spit, but he's got a little flow to him. So I like Dame. He just is just kind of like a diamond in the rough. If he played somewhere in a bigger market, people would be much more on the Dame Lillard train.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I agree, man. This guy right here is just, you know, like you said, you have some guys that are like, he kind of reminds a little bit of Kawhi, just, you know, just guys are doing what they got to do. But like I said, just, I mean, dude's very talented. And you hope, it kind of sucks, man, whenever, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge left, because they had something there, kind of start something big, and then now they kind of took a couple steps back, too. But I agree with both of you guys. This guy is definitely a superstar, you know, definitely on the cusp of that, too. Let's talk about your Lakers.
I tell you what, if the healthy Aldridge were still there in Portland, it would be some series.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't know,
because
Aldridge is
a malcontent.
I don't know. Sometimes you can get addition by subtraction. I hear what you're saying. He's got the talent, but LaMarcus is a little bit of a malcontent. And I don't know if he would allow himself, allow Dame to get that spotlight. He'd be like, well, what about me? And it kind of came to that, and that's why he left. So I hear what you're saying on paper. You feel like that, but in actuality, I don't know. But they're playing so well, they're not going to get a really high pick. They got to convince somebody to come to Portland, which is also a challenge.
You know, whenever we're talking about that, guys, I definitely, you know, I'll shot some notes about this because you mentioned the Rockets and just, you know, how they destroyed OKC, right? And their victory. And can you imagine just like what would have happened if they would have kept all three? Originally, they would have kept Westbrook, Durant, and Harden. I mean, I don't know what would have happened if Harden would have developed the same way, but that's just amazing if you look at that now, how they had all those three guys together. I mean, they would have been won a championship, I think. If you know, I don't know. Just that's a little crazy, man. You know, I don't know what happened, you know, as far as the chemistry or what, but just what could have been, you know, the what-ifs, if you will.
It's Westbrook and Durant, because they say Westbrook and Harden are still really close. They're still really like – they're almost like best friends. Like, they're still pretty close. So that chemistry between the two of them is still pretty good. And from what I've heard, I think the fly in the ointment was Durant and Westbrook. Westbrook and
Westbrook,
Harden. Yeah. But they're still pretty hard. They're still pretty close. Like, they're good friends off the court. So I don't think the chemistry was between them two. I think it was about Westbrook and Durant.
Yeah, and the reason why Harden got traded in the first place is OKC didn't want to pay the luxury tax at the time.
Oh, we know about that.
You know, it had nothing to do with them not getting along at that particular time. It's just that OKC did not want to pay the luxury tax.
That's just an ignorant choice.
Yep.
Yeah, do you think now they pay that?
When you had those three players together,
Yeah.
No telling how special that could have been, too.
Yeah, and if you look at it, you mess around and lose Paul George, and now you went from having those three just to having Westbrook and no clear path to get another star there. So I'll give them credit for making the trades afterwards, but they wouldn't have had to do that. They had to just open up the wallet and say, man, if we win games, we'll make the money back.
Hmm.
And just think about that. Just last season, all three of those guys was in the top five in MVP.
Right.
Think about all those guys still on the same team. It's amazing.
That's
you know, they're trying to find superstars.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let's talk about your Lakers, JQ. Is LeVar the deal breaker for LeBron to join the Lakers? I love this.
I think so, because LeVar has shown no signs. I mean, if he ain't going to respect Magic's wishes to, you know, be cool and not take a backseat, I mean, that's Magic freaking Johnson, and that's not to diminish LeBron and who he is, but we all know and value Magic in this game and what he's meant to the league. You know, him and Larry saved the NBA, if you want to really be honest, when he came in. So if Magic can't get him to calm down, I mean, LeBron through back channels talking to him like, I'll come there if you calm down. Like, I just don't see that happening because that's just not in LeBron's nature. And I just, you know, I think LeBron deals with Dan Gilbert because Cleveland is home. You know what I mean? But L.A. isn't home. So I don't know if he's just going to walk into that zoo. Because can you imagine what LeVar is going to say? I told you he was coming. And every day it's going to be about LeVar and not be about LeBron being there. I mean, it's just true. And I can see that being a deal breaker because I just don't see him settling down. I mean, if you LeBron and you go there, you don't want it to be about, you know, not even a dude playing, but a dude that's playing his dad, you know, getting the press and talking crazy. And then, you know, every time something don't go right between Lonzo and LeBron, here come LeVar talking, you know, reckless nonsense. Like, I just, if I'm LeBron, I wouldn't necessarily want to deal with that. If I'm any superstar, I don't necessarily want to deal with that. So LeVar is going to, as well as he did to get Lonzo prepared, he's hurting him with what he's doing as well.
Wow. Go ahead, Ron.
Well, I'm going to say no on this. I'm going to say if the Lakers had the players and they were contending for a championship, I think LeBron will consider them regardless. So I'm going to say if LeBron does not go to the Lakers, it's because he doesn't feel like they're a championship team yet. I don't think it has nothing to do with LeVar at the moment. And Lonzo actually has been playing. He's actually stepped up his game here of late, too.
Yeah. He has
been playing some pretty good basketball, Lonzo Ball. So I think he would be able to put that portion aside. I think he's man enough to put that aside if the Lakers were a strong championship contender. But I'm going to say no. I think he could put it aside if the Lakers were a championship contender. So it will be because they're not a championship contender would be the reason why he would not go to Los Angeles.
Come on, man. Gotcha. He already told that dude to keep his family his name out his mouth. Like, he's already told him that. Like, stop talking about me, and I'm not even there yet. Can you imagine what would be the circus would be like if he was there? Like, I have to disagree with you on this one, Rob, because if you're LeBron, and I know I'm a Lakers fan, but if you look at it like this, you know, you're not going to probably resign Isaiah so you can have the cap space. If he can convince a Paul George, somebody to come with him, and then you get Ingram, who's been playing better, Ball, who's been playing better, Randall, who's been playing better. You look at that team, Hart was playing better before he hurt his hand. They had the makings of, if I can get me and somebody else can come, we can elevate it. Now, can we knock off Golden State? I'm not sure, but I'm not sure if he can go anywhere and knock off Golden State. So I can't use that as a barometer. But if he was able to get somebody like, you know what, we talked about this on the Olympic team or at the All-Star game, like, yo, me and you, we go there. With what they have, they could shoot up the standards. But I just can't see him wanting to deal with LeVar every day. I mean, they've already had it out once in the press. Can you imagine having to deal with that dude every day?
Yeah, and I also think the bottom line is this, is that the best chance for LeBron James to get to the finals is by staying with a team in the Eastern Conference. So what I mean by him going, I think if he really thought he can go to the Lakers and they can overtake the Warriors, I think he would still consider them. But the bottom line is the best chance for him to get to the NBA Finals is with him staying in the Eastern Conference. And so I personally believe that he's still going to be in Cleveland when it's all said and done. And if he does leave Cleveland, I think the team that he would possibly consider would be the 76ers, and I still don't see that happening either.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Hey, let's talk about – we're still going to stay with the Lakers here. How is Isaiah Thomas fair with Lakers so far, in your opinion there, JQ?
I mean, not at all. I mean, he wants to take credit for – instilling some kind of confidence in them. I mean, Isaiah Thomas is just a weird cat. I'm just going to put that out there. I mean, I know you have to have that irrational confidence when you know, 5'2", and you're trying to play in the NBA.
Confidence.
But he is. He just is. I mean, he's playing decently in some nights, and some nights, you know, he's awful, and I still think he's trying to play himself back into shape with that hip injury, which is very serious hip injury that he had, and it takes a minute to recover from that. But, you know, I like Rob said before, I think it's been Lonzo and Ingram who really have stepped their games up to get them on that role. I don't think it's been about Isaiah. I think he's been a small piece of it, but I don't think he's been the piece, and I don't think he's been the catalyst. I think it's really been Ingram and Ball.
Okay. All right. Rob?
Yeah, Isaiah Thomas, let's just face it. He's not the same player that we saw with the Celtics before that hip injury last season. I think that's the bottom line. We're talking about a guy who was averaging 29.2 points a game on 46.2% shooting. In the playoffs, his numbers fell, and there's a lot of speculation that he actually had that injury sometime in March or April prior to the playoffs, and he probably should not have been playing. You look at last year, and obviously the playoffs become a little bit more of a half-court game, and with his size, that could be a disadvantage for him. But last year, his playoffs, he went from 29.2 points a game to 23.3 points a game. His shooting percentage went down from the regular season to the playoffs last season, going from 46.2 to 42.5%. So he, and then, of course, with the hip injury, you're talking about a guy, he's got physical limitations now. He's lost a lot of his explosiveness. He's just not the same player. And I think that's the bottom line here. And you wonder, with his size, he has to have that quickness and explosiveness in order for him to be effective. And if he doesn't regain that with his size disadvantage, you have to wonder if he's going to ever be that same type of player again.
Agreed.
That first step is just not there anymore. And another thing is, he's you look at his the percentage of his shots that are being blocked compared to what it was last year. There's a lot more percentage of his shots being blocked this season as it has in the past.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's
100% healthy. I'm still thinking about that, man. I don't know. He's, like you talked about, not there yet, man. So that's what I'm thinking.
Last year, when he was at his best, his shot was blocked 7.7% of his attempts. This year is up to 12%. So now 12% of his attempts are being blocked.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yep.
All right, like I said, he's got to get healthy, man. That's his bottom line with that. All right, gentlemen, we got about 17 minutes here. We're still moving along here. Let's talk about who's going to win the Eastern Conference. A lot of contenders here. Do we still think it's the Celtics here? Toronto's trying to make a push. The Cavs are, getting rejuvenated here. So who's going to win that, Rob?
I tell you what, it's a lot closer to predict than it has been in years past, I'll say that. But I don't think it's going to be the Celtics, though. I really don't. I've kind of soured on them a little bit. I know JQ's probably going to disagree with me, but I've kind of soured on the Celtics here come playoff time. I actually believe it's going to either be Toronto or Cleveland. And I will lean a little bit more toward Toronto right now. When you look at their bench and how deep they are, and the size that they have, and the athletic bigs that they have, and the depth that they have in the backcourt. Playing with a lot of confidence. DeMar DeRozan is playing phenomenal, as you saw tonight, with 42 points.
Yep.
They're pretty much about 10, 11 deep right now. They have a lot of guys that can come in and really play. And you just haven't seen Cleveland put it together for long stretches. I know we just talked about if they can just stick with Larry Nance. We got to wait to see how it's going to come together when Kevin Love's come back, too. And the only reason I still have Cleveland in the mix is you still just can't quite count on LeBron James in the mix. But I just don't think it's Boston. And when you look at, how deep the Toronto team is, I would have to say it's Toronto or LeBron James.
I agree with half of it. I agree with half of it. The half I agree with is Cleveland. Until you throw in the King and knock him off, I'm going
to
keep him in there.
It's
hard to count him out till you see it happen. The same way that we always want to pick against the Patriots, but when it comes down to it, when it comes down to picking against them in the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl or, even the division round, we can't do it unless some overwhelming evidence, and you still are like, it's Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. As much as we hate it, we still have to go with it. And I feel like, we don't have that animosity for Cleveland, but I feel like it's the same kind of circumstance. Until I see it happen, until I see LeBron not being in the finals coming out of the East, and I'm going to have to give Cleveland still as my favorite. But I just think Boston, with the way they can play defense, I hear you. They have a little challenge to score, but when you can keep other people from scoring, you keep yourself in the ball game. And I'll be honest, I just have seen Toronto you know, play, have good regular seasons, and then get against a good quality opponent in the Eastern Conference and not make it and flame out. And again, it's the same kind of thing with them from the reverse. And so I see them climb that mountaintop at least one time before I can see it in my mind and see it with my eyes. I just can't do it. I've seen Kyrie be dangerous and win a finals game for the Cavs. I think he can get, you know, Boston to that level. You know, they got young guys, you know, and Tatum and Brown who have to step up their games in the playoffs. Horford, for all the knocks, I think is not a star, but he's a good piece in the machine that they have. So I'm still going to put it Cleveland and Boston. I put Toronto at three. They are playing very well, and I won't take that away from them. But for me, Toronto, given what I've seen, and it's, you know, they've gotten deeper. But so I see them doing the playoffs. They're just going to be a good regular season team for me.
All right, there you have it. I was trying to like say this topic. I wanted to talk about something more positive because I didn't want to bring this up. But Rob did kind of touch base about a little bit about Lonzo Ball and the Lakers' collapse against the Blazers Monday night. That may have been a byproduct too, a little bit of Damian Lillard kind of doing this thing too. But Rob, what do you want to kind of wrap this up for JQ here on this?
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to Damian Lillard. I mean, he rallied Portland back in that game for that 108-103 win. On Monday night, he just started knocking down every shot he was attempting. I mean, they were down to the Lakers by 11 points with 5 minutes and 26 seconds remaining. Lillard scored 19 of his 39 points in the fourth quarter, rallied them, and won their 15th consecutive game over the Lakers. That's surprising when you look at the history of that rivalry. The Lakers have dominated over the years. But, I mean, down the stretch, he scored 15 in a row for the Trailblazers and pretty much carried that team. Obviously, C.J. McCollum had 22 points. Nurkic had 16 points and 16 rebounds, giving them a double-double. I mean, they've won 7 straight, 9 out of the last 10, and they're sitting in third place in the Western Conference right now. So they're doing some really good things right now.
Yeah, and I won't belabor. Okay? I think we touched. Yeah, no, I'm good because, I mean, the thing about it is it shows you when you play a better team that has a bona fide superstar that no lead is safe. And we touched about it in the other topic about how the Clippers couldn't hold off the Pelicans. Yeah, well, Anthony Davis went for 41 points. When you have a superstar that could take over a game and the other team does not have that, that sometimes is all the difference, especially in the NBA when you only have 5 people on your team out there playing. You can have one singular force that can exert their will on the game and take it over. And we saw Anthony Davis do it for the Pelicans. We see Damian Lillard do it for the Blazers. So I wasn't necessarily too upset about, of course, I want to win that game and snap that streak because, you know, I hate to even hear that. But it just shows you, you know, where they are and how far they still have to go. And as well as we think Ball has been playing and Ingram's been playing, they're not to that level yet. And Damian Lillard is at that level. So it is what it is. You got to, you know, take your lumps. Take that L, you know, and like Big Sean, you got to bounce back.
Mm-hmm. So I love the bounce back reference too, man. Cause, and like I said, all these games, believe it or not, every time I see something like this, I think it's good for the young guys. I really do. I mean, because it is like that learning lesson, right? You know, because everything that's been happening to LeVar, Lonzo this year, you know, he had his dad talking all that stuff, and he's been kind of getting him prepared. He's been taking a lot of lumps. I do think at the end of the day it will make him better. And whenever you see, like I said, you see Dame Lillard, how he can elevate his game, and then this is something they're going to have to learn. Young guys, man, that's the best way to learn, man. You know, it's definitely going through that. You know, you're not there yet. This is where you need to be to get to that next level. So believe it or not, you know, it's one of the situations I think, you know, you're taking that L. But, yeah, like you said, you got to bounce back. Hey, Rob, let's do some fantasy shout-outs here real quick.
All right, let's see here. Let me pull out my notes. Well, we know JQ's team is still in first place. And actually, Andre, your team, triple-double, had the biggest win of the week, 8-0 win over Madhouse on Madison. And congrats, you moved into third overall and first place in your division as we get closer here. I just dawned on me a few days ago that this is the last week of the regular season. I didn't realize that we were that close to the playoffs. So we're getting down here to the nitty-gritty in the stretch run here in our quest. For all of us to try to win his fantasy basketball championship here.
I mean, I was waiting for that moment, man. Look at your boy. Look at your boy, man, making a comeback. What? Sorry.
You're on the move. And I'm going in the opposite direction. The elevator is going down for the players. I may relate. Rob is
I don't know how Rob already has over 100 rebounds through 3 days. That's just insanely ignorant. But Zach Felix is 23. Mike is probably going to overtake me here the last week for first place. I'm just trying to hang on to a bye so I can try to get healthy. But this has been really competitive. I think the playoff teams are already spoken for. It's just about seeding right now. I think all six of us have made it. So this has been a really competitive, at least upper part of the league, and it's going to be real interesting the next 3 weeks moving forward, trying to see who wins this chip.
A minute, man.
Anthony Davis is on the ground grabbing his ankle. Get up. Shake that off.
Rob is on this. All right, let's see. We talked about that. Let's wrap this up here. We're going to wrap up this last basketball conversation here. With Hero having a season-high 26 points against the Pelicans last night. And what cost the Clippers the game, Rob?
Well, the Pelicans were pretty much dominating the basketball game, you know, throughout. And I think the Clippers attributed to, some poor execution throughout the basketball game. Obviously, they made a run in the game, and the Pelicans were able to hold on in the end. But, Anthony Davis briefly went out of the game with a rib contusion. DeAndre Jordan gave him a nice little shot during the game. And DeMarcus Cousins actually on the bench gave him motivated him to go back in the game. DeMarcus Cousins said, "Give me your Achilles and I'll go back out there and play." In other words, Anthony Davis, get your butt out there and play. He went back out there. Actually, Anthony Davis had a career high with 4 3-pointers in the game, also had 13 rebounds. And as JQ talked about earlier, 41 points. And Lou Williams had 27 points for the Clippers. And like I said, nothing seemed to be affecting Anthony Davis right now. He's just playing extremely well.
Got to get motivated, though.
They just took him out of the game now, so hopefully this is not too serious. Pelicans got a 20-point lead on the road against Sacramento right now. Look like they're going to get 10 in a row tonight.
Oh, yeah, they're going to take him out. They can win that game without him. For everything that he just said, but it shows you the Clippers don't have a star, and the Pelicans have a star, and no lead is safe when you have somebody that's that phenomenal and their ability to put their imprint on the game. So, to me, is they shouldn't even have been in that position because they were giving it to the Clippers. I think they just got a little lackadaisical. But then they were able to salvage it because they have a bona fide stud in Anthony Davis. And it's the case of the haves and the have-nots. If you have a superstar, you're always in there. If not, you fight an uphill battle.
It is. Bottom line. All right, gentlemen, good job. Let's kick it over to some NFL talk here. Obviously, the NFL Combine is wrapping up. There's been a lot of moves that's been happening here. You know, obviously, the big deal, Michael Bennett getting traded to the Philadelphia Eagles, Rich getting richer here, a lot of moves as far as franchise tags and whatnot, And I know we're going to talk about some NFL mock draft coverage. You've got about 7 minutes, and we're going to spend the rest of the time talking NFL here. So I don't know if you guys want to comment a little bit on what's been happening over the past couple of days with trades, and then we'll let Rob kind of do his thing. As a Falcons fan, I was a little nervous. I thought that we were, you know, in the running to get Michael Bennett, but that apparently didn't happen. So that's going to definitely affect us in the draft and what we're going to have free agency wise too. So we were not going to bring Claiborne back, and now I wonder how that affects that as well too. But your thoughts on anything that's been happening in the offseason so far, and you know, some moves as far as tags and things like that? I'll let you kick that off, JQ, and your thoughts, man.
Oh, well, the one that surprised me a little bit, because they talked about they talked about franchising Sammy Watkins, and then they rescinded that to franchise, I think it's the cornerback.
Yep.
That's another potential big wide receiver. You know, he's been injury prone, but, you know, he actually stayed healthy this year for the Rams. So I thought that was a little surprising, but, you know, they were in a tough spot. And then they also traded Ogletree today to the Giants. So I think that's a good move by the Giants to make that move. I think you're good with not getting Bennett. I think Bennett is on the decline. If you look at the parameters of that deal, they didn't get a ton for having to give up a ton to get Bennett. And sometimes I think those Bennett brothers are a little bit more than they're worth right now with their age and their play. You see his brother got released by the Patriots as well today. The one I was kind of shocked at that they didn't get it done was the Le'Veon Bell one, when he's already told you that, you know, I will sit out, I will retire, I'll sit out, you know, how many games I need to sit out in order just to be able to come back to preserve a year accrued in the league.
how often do you want to keep poking that bear? And I understand that it's the running back and it gets a little devalued now. But as much as I hate to say it, Le'Veon Bell is a stud. You got to find a way to meet him in the middle for everything that he does for that offense. You know, everything runs through him. A lot of people, you know, you say, yeah, you got Antonio Brown and Roethlisberger, but a lot of those routes get open like that because you have to, you know, honor the run or the check down to Le'Veon Bell and his ability to make a play. So I was a little surprised that Pittsburgh was still doing that dance with Le'Veon and not being able to come to some kind of agreement when they knew this was coming down basically through the whole season. So I don't know if there's going to be a resolution, if they think he's going to blink, because he's been pretty steadfast in what he said. And, you know, that lets me know that they just don't believe he's worth the number he's asking for. So what do you do if you're Pittsburgh?
Yeah, that's a call. Yep. Rob.
Yeah, and if you Pittsburgh, obviously, I think your mindset is, I mean, yeah, you can't just let a player like that go. And you would think that Pittsburgh, as JQ just mentioned, they would have come to an agreement on a long-term deal with a player of that caliber. But let's face it, Le'Veon Bell is not going to sit out and not take $14 million. I mean, come on. It's just, you know, he can come with those threats, but he is not going to sit out the season and miss out on $14 million. So Pittsburgh absolutely had to put that exclusive franchise tag on him to keep his services. And as JQ mentioned, he is flat out a stud, arguably the best running back in the game. And Pittsburgh cannot afford to be without him. So a little bit of a surprise there that they couldn't reach an agreement, but they obviously had to put the franchise tag on him. Even in the event that they can't reach out on agreement, you want to put the tag on to protect yourself with a possible trade, too, to see what you can get in return for him. But I think when it's all said and done, he'll obviously still be with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I agree. Michael Bennett, I think at this point in his career, he's just a situational pass rusher, at best a rotational-type player, and may be able to help the Eagles out in spots, but I don't think he'll be a difference-maker. Obviously, they're already the Super Bowl champs. I don't think it's going to make them even stronger or even better. They should still be at the top of their division if they're able to stay healthy. But I don't think they're getting a big-time difference maker at all. And Martellus Bennett getting released by the Patriots. He's another player that will help a team in spots, but not necessarily a huge difference maker at this point. And so Seattle is – you know, what it looks like to me is that they're about to go in total rebuilding mode. And, I mean, they've already said they're not going to re-sign Jimmy Graham. They're letting Richard Sherman go. And so this is a team that looks like they are ready to start fresh and get some young players in there and start the process over again.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Hey, so before we get started, before we get on that topic, we've got 15 seconds. Rob, go ahead and set up the OT portion, and we'll continue on with NFL talk, if you will.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in. Once again, we'll be back on the air live again on next Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You don't want to miss it. Click on the same link on tomorrow. We can get the OT portion of the show. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of our show live, but you can click on the same link and get some great NFL talk that we still have in store. You don't want to miss it. Good night, people. Thanks for tuning in. Don't miss the OT portion. Don't miss us on next Wednesday night. Good night.
Yes, sir. We appreciate everybody listening to the show and downloading it. You know, we head into the stretch. I know Andre's ready to keep talking some smack to us about this fantasy basketball, so you can tune into that. getting excited. I'm ready for the NBA playoffs. I know a lot of people think it's a foregone conclusion, but, you know, stay tuned to us as we keep talking about it, and we're going to get you ready here for the NFL draft. Shout out to Rob for his great work doing these mock drafts for us. We have a good talking
always.
Point, and we'll holler at you next week.
Yep.
Michael Porter Jr. will play for Missouri in the SEC tournament. Let's see what he's got.
I'm looking forward to that. That may be our pick right there, man. We'll see how this plays out. Yeah, I'm excited about that. All right, here we go. Let's talk. We got about 48-something seconds here. And, gentlemen, we're going to talk about some mock draft coverage here, Rob. And, again, we always appreciate you doing that. And I want to talk about this, what's happening with Kirk Cousins, because this is kind of where the chips are kind of going to get stacked here, because whatever Kirk does is going to definitely affect the draft. Because, again, you got to think about this, because you've heard over the weekend as far as, you know, the Browns have like one of the highest cap numbers. They got like over like 140 million, something crazy like that in cap space. So basically, Kirk Cousins can back up and write a, you know, check for whatever he wants if he wants to go there. Also, you know, the Broncos are kind of devastated because if I'm reading this correctly, Rob, according to reports, and this could be JQ, it looks like he's leaning towards the Vikings, which is going to be an interesting scenario as it is. Now, also, I want to also tie into the fact that if you're watching the Combine, one guy that was really impressive was Josh Allen, man. That dude looked very impressive, man. So, again, they're in shorts and shorts, not in pads, but just to see the way that he was
underwear
able to swing the ball, that was an impressive, man. But I got to – they were comparing his – he was so effortless. They were comparing his arm strength, as dare I hate to mention this, to a Jamarcus Russell. They were just talking about how they've never seen arm strength like that since that. So that's a pretty
Patrick Mahomes
thing too. So, yeah, but yeah, same thing. So it's just interesting to see how what's going to happen here. I know we kind of talked about this too, JQ. You were texting us as well as far as how one of the street is that, you know, Saquon may be the guy for the Browns too. So this is going to be interesting, you know, scenario too. So I know I hit you guys with a lot of topics to discuss before we get to the mock draft. But, you know, again, a lot of things happening with that. And I guess, Rob, what do you think about that? You know, what's been happening with, you know, with Kirk Cousins and how, you know, what he does is going to affect kind of the dominoes as far as the draft.
Well, it may not have that big of a – if he goes to Minnesota, which is reportedly that he's where he's leaning toward going, and Minnesota also is a team that has a ton of cap space as well, and so they'll be able to pretty much give him whatever he wants as well. And obviously Minnesota's a team that was just in the NFC Championship game this past season with a hell of a defense. You're going to get your running back back, and they got two stud wide receivers. They can possibly fill in a few holes along that offensive line and get a little bit better there. But defensively, you know, they can use possibly another corner to help them out as a third corner. But for the most part, their defense still should be fully intact for next season. So obviously, that's a great landing spot for him when you look at it. And so it probably won't have that. If he goes to Minnesota, it won't affect the draft as much because obviously, you know, there was a lot of us that thought he would either go to Denver or the Jets, and Denver and the Jets are picking 5 and 6. So you thought you would have a trickle-down effect from the quarterback position. But if he goes to Minnesota, those quarterbacks are going early, and you're probably going to have 3 of them going in the top 6 picks of this draft and possibly 4 with trades involved. If he does wind up going to the Minnesota, it probably would not be that big of a deal from the draft perspective. Josh Allen, obviously phenomenal from a workout standpoint at the Combine. NFL teams loved him. They compared him to what Patrick Mahomes did last year as well. I think he's definitely in play with Cleveland. Cleveland is definitely considering him. I think Cleveland has pretty much narrowed it down to 3 players right now. Josh Allen is in the mix. Saquon Barkley, I think, is in the mix. And also Sam Darnold is in the mix right now for that number 1 pick. And, you know, I know we've talked about they should go with Saquon Barkley because they'll still be able to get a quarterback at 4. I think Cleveland's concern right now is if they don't take the quarterback that they are the most comfortable with at number 1, they're afraid that somebody's going to trade up to 2 and 3 and get the quarterback that they want. And I think that's where they're concerned a little bit right now and why they probably will still go and take the quarterback number 1 of their choice at the number 1 spot. So we'll see. I still have him going with Sam Darnold. He's still a guy to me and to most NFL evaluators, the quarterback with the most upside, the most potential. And, you know, even though he had somewhat of a down junior year, his competition level on film was a lot stronger than what you see on film with Josh Allen. And so there's still some concern about Allen and his accuracy too, but his arm strength absolutely is the best coming out of this draft as well. So it's going to be interesting. Obviously, we don't think the Giants or Indy are going to take a quarterback at 2 or 3. So logically, you think going with Barkley at 1 and a QB at 4 will make sense. But like I said, Cleveland is concerned that another team could trade up to 2 or 3 and get the quarterback of their choice.
Yeah, and there's a lot there. Starting with Cousins, if I'm Cousins, I think Minnesota is by far the best place to go. you talk about a team that is ready-made to have a just a solid quarterback with everything they have that Rob outlined. To me, that's a no-brainer unless they try to lowball him, which I can't see. I think they also know it. I think they, you know,
Denver's
that
pretty
guy
good
that
too.
Goes,
Denver's pretty
yeah,
good
but
too,
you know, but
right,
with the way they fell down back to earth, and that defense is getting a little older. If you want to be honest, you know, Emmanuel Sanders and Bebe weren't, you know, I know they had bad quarterback play, but they look like they're slipping a little bit too. If I'm him, I still think Minnesota's
Bebe can't catch a cold.
Yeah, he's struggling. So I would go to Minnesota for all the things that Rob outlined. I won't repeat all of that. And he's right. If that happens, then you don't necessarily have the domino effect that we think we'll have on the draft because if we're being honest, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, Case Keenum, you know, I still think Nick Foles is still Nick Foles if you're going to trade for him. I just don't think, you know, I think there's a precipitous drop-off after Kirk Cousins with all the other free agent quarterbacks that I don't think will preclude somebody that was up in the top part of the draft from taking a quarterback. And for the Browns, I mean, they have so many options because outside of just also having all that money, they have a ton of picks in this draft from all the willing and dealing and passing on the Carson Wentz of the year. So they can also be a player depending if they, you know, take whoever they want and one, and then they say they want to move back up and Saquon drops or whatever if in between that one and four spot. So they're definitely a team to watch, but I'm pretty sure they're out of the Cousins sweepstakes. I just can't see him doing that. That would just be ignorant. I
even had three second-round picks to go along with their two first-round picks. Unbelievable.
That's crazy.
Right.
That's crazy. Yeah.
It is. And you know what I heard the other day on First Take, just to throw this out there for y'all, somebody I think from CBS Sports mocked a trade where the Browns gave the first and the fourth pick of the draft to Indianapolis for Andrew Luck. I said,
ooh.
Could you imagine Indianapolis sitting there with the first, the third, and the fourth pick in the draft? If they did that,
yeah,
I think Cleveland would be crazy to make that trade personally.
I mean, it's interesting,
especially with Luck coming off an injury, and there's got to be some concerns there as well. I think that would be crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, but if you're the Browns, do you think it's getting the quarterback? You think that's the move for them, or I mean, getting somebody that, you know, as opposed to like not a veteran like that? You think that's what kind of the route for them to go? I mean, honestly,
I can see them doing that if they get good reports back on Luck and his shoulder. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but you get somebody that has been proven. Now, he hasn't gotten it all the way. I still think he has some things he's got to work out on the field. But 80% Luck, is he better than 100% Allen right now or the next 2 to 3 years? I think so. Or Darnold. You know, our Rosen and our Mayfield. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but, you know, there's no Peyton Manning in this draft, you know, where you're like, you know what, nope, I'm staying here at one, I'm good, and I want to get 6 more years out of him because Luck is already, what, 28, 29 or something like that. I don't know. It was just interesting. I thought it was good fodder for, you know, conversation about the draft,
fodder,
which we like to do.
That is great.
But Cleveland is definitely a team to watch in terms of free agency and in the draft. I think they're going to have to be a plan B, kind of the big name sign in NFL free agency first, and then they can kind of scoop up with that money some of those tier B and then augment them with all the picks, because I just don't see a big-time free agent going to Cleveland on a team that's won one game in the past 2 years. I just don't see that happening.
And real quick, before we move on, to shout out to everyone who talked about Shaquem Griffin as well, man. That dude, what an amazing story. I mean, we talked about that too, man. Just doing his thing too, man. With, you know, the prosthesis and the arm, just that dude, man. You know,
phenomenal.
A lot of heart.
He made himself
somebody. I'm curious how he's going to play in the league, man. That's one thing. I mean, you can't teach what he's got, man. That's just beautiful, man. So anyway, I just want to throw that out there as well.
I think he maybe even moved himself up to a third round pick in this draft too.
If not
a little higher.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And like I said, if you're the Browns, I mean, I can kind of see where you're going to, Rob, with this too, because we're going to talk about the mock draft. We're going to talk about, you know, the best running backs in the draft. So let's say that, you know, you're like, all right, you know, we're kind of nervous about losing, you know, whatever, our guy. So you get your quarterback. Then you come back around, and let's say that Saquon is gone. You know, we're assuming he's going to be gone to the Giants at that second pick. So now, do you draft the next guy right there? I mean, do you trade back? I mean, what's the call there? Because it may be too high to draft, you know, I guess the second, who is it, there's a couple guys. You got from LSU Deuce, you got Ronald Jones, you got Sonny Michel, you got Nick Chubb, is it too high for them at that point, or do you kind of say, okay,
Kerryon Johnson.
Do you kind of reset? Yeah, Kerryon Johnson. I mean, where are you at from this perspective, too? And we could talk about the top five, and Rob will let you kind of wrap up because we're ready to talk about the mock draft, too. So where are you at if you're the Browns? I mean, if, let's say that you get your guy, whether it's Darnold, whether it's Josh Allen, at number one, then you come back around, okay, so now am I getting running back there, or what's the play for the Browns, JQ? What do you think?
I mean, if I'm the Browns, and this is why I lean with Rob in terms of that luck hypothetical trade, I think they still have
yep.
enough holes where they try to maximize all these picks they have, they've accumulated, and try to fill those holes where the value is there. You need a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Kaiser is going to be the answer. He might be a good backup, and he might be a good trade fodder down the line, a la Garoppolo, but maybe not to that level. But if you start filling in holes, say you pick a quarterback, or you take Barkley, and then, you know, a lot of people are high on Micah Fitzpatrick there for. I've heard as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then you try to fill in, you know, you don't know if Joe Thomas is coming back because he's been talking about retiring and not re-signing with the Browns. So you got some depth in this draft from the offensive lineman. I think they need help in almost every level. And you can still get a running back there. I think you can get a Chubb maybe. He had a really good 40. I think he had a good showing as well. He might have worked himself into the lower part of the first round. But if not, you're sitting there at the top of the second round where you could take him. They are just – so hard to pin down because they have so many things they could do and they have so many needs. But if I'm them, I'm with you, Rob. I look at that second wave of free agency, try to fill in some of those holes and then use those picks to fill in the rest. And if somebody's falling and you don't feel like you're giving up the farm to kind of move up or move around, then you go get that guy and you look up and say, okay, the plan that we had in place to when we passed on Owens and the Watson, and we moved around to pick these picks. Those picks at some point have to become actual players, and you got to go ahead and fill those holes on the roster. So if I'm Cleveland, I think that's where I would lean to try to maximize my 1-52 on my roster come Sundays.
Interesting. Go ahead, Rob.
Yep, absolutely. I totally agree. Definitely not taking the running back at 4 unless somehow Saquon Barkley is still on the board. And
right.
Barkley obviously had an impressive combine, could very well be the best player in this draft right there along with Bradley Chubb, has been the best overall player in this particular draft. But, yeah, you're not taking a running back at 4 unless it's Saquon Barkley there. So you go with the quarterback. Right now I have Minka Fitzpatrick back in the number 4. My last mock I had dropped Fitzpatrick down to 7. I moved him back up to number 4. Getting a great defensive player that's versatile as well. They can play a little corner. They can play safety as well. So you're getting a guy that has some versatility and it's got some physicality as well helping you out there. So you're talking about for Cleveland, you're hoping you're getting your quarterback of the future. You're hoping you're getting a Pro Bowl on defense right there. And then you come back the top of the second round. Right now I have them taking a real sleeper in the pass rusher, Harold Landry, who's got a good bend coming off the edge, defensive end from Boston College. Can get them a decent playmaker there as far as rushing the passer there at the 33 position. And then they come right back at 35, as JQ mentioned about question marks about Joe Thomas, a guy who's really climbing up draft boards, Colton Miller, offensive tackle from UCLA. You know, very athletic, good feet, has the length as well. That could be the guy that can help them along the offensive line. I mean, you got 4 of the top 35 picks in the draft. I haven't even haven't taken a running back yet. You can still get a running back there. They have the last pick of the second round as well. So they got 5 picks in the first 2 rounds of this draft as well. So a lot of options there for the Cleveland Browns.
You can't keep dogging them, right? Because eventually they're going to get it right. Eventually they're going to get it right, man. You know?
That's not true.
So.
They can say that 5 years ago. Wrong. Yeah, I was going to say that. Ain't true.
Like,
it's still Cleveland.
I'm trying to give him some hope, man. I'm sorry, Mario. I tried, bro. I tried, man. I was trying to give him some hope, man. It's a little bit about that, too. Do you have anything to say about that, JQ? If not, we're going to talk about the mock draft, and then we're going to keep this going, and we'll wrap up the show, man. So, yeah, go ahead.
Well, no, let's go. Let's go to the mock.
All right, wrap. Knock it out, bro.
All right, the latest first round, let's go. We already talked about the Cleveland Browns. We can skip past that. We talked about the Giants getting Saquon Barkley and seeing if they can get a little bit more juice out of Eli Manning for another year or two. Bradley Chubb, as I mentioned, Chubb and Barkley are the two best players in this draft, and obviously they're going to go right there at the 2 and 3 position, maybe even number one. Right now, Josh Allen, I got him going to Denver at the number 5 spot. Josh Rosen, who's probably still the best overall pure pocket passer coming out of college, going at the number 6 position to the New York Jets. Quentin Nelson is a guy that's interesting as well. He's someone that I had my last mock up to number 4 to Cleveland. Got him back down to number 7. He looks like a future Pro Bowler here at the offensive guard position, having gone 7 to Tampa Bay. Denzel Ward, a guy JQ is familiar with, at the corner position, had one of the fastest 40s, ran the 4.32 at the combine. Got him going number 9 to San Fran. Roquan Smith, for those of you in the Georgia area, had him going number 10 to Oakland. And first real surprise of the draft, Baker Mayfield. Got him going number 11 to Miami right now. So there's a lot of talk in Miami. What are they going to do with the quarterback position? Is Tannehill the guy? Is he not the guy? That would be the first real big surprise of the draft. I know JQ mentioned he's not happy with his Bengals pick here. Mike McGlinchey, offensive tackle, Notre Dame. Obviously, the Bengals got to get a little younger there on the offensive line and better along the offensive line as well with that particular pick. Josh Jackson, cornerback, Iowa, 13, Washington. Marcus nice Davenport, real freakish athlete. Defensive end from Texas San Antonio, could be a real sleeper in this draft. Might be the best athlete, period, in this draft, going number 14. Next somewhat surprise pick, Lamar Jackson. Quarterback's going early, 15 in Arizona. I'm hearing that they're really high on him and may even trade up to get him. And so right now I have Lamar Jackson at number 15, Louisville. Let's see, Derwin James, safety, Florida State. Got him going to the Chargers at 17. Kelvin Ridley, wide receiver, Alabama, 19 to the Cowboys. Let's see, Will Hernandez, got him going to Buffalo at 21. Leighton Van Der Esch, another guy that's a real sleeper, could be a really good pass rusher in this draft. Outside linebacker slash defensive end from Boise State, really smart player. Going to be a really sleeper in this draft as well, having gone to Buffalo as well. Isaiah Wynn, I changed Carolina's pick. I had him at running back here the last couple of mocks, but I have Isaiah Wynn, interior offensive lineman from Georgia, going to Carolina. Rashawn Evans, linebacker, Alabama. Atlanta, I actually got him taking Orlando Brown.
Come on,
obviously,
man.
We talked about his slow 40 time. There's a lot of NFL scouts are still very high on him when you look at his film and how dominant he is. And a lot of scouts think he can either play guard or tackle in the NFL. So it'd be some flexibility there for the Falcons there at 26. 27, got my beloved Saints taking Isaiah Oliver, cornerback from Colorado, to help continue to improve that defense. Jacksonville, Sony Michel, a little bit of a surprise. Leonard Fournette, obviously they cut Chris Ivory. They're looking for some more depth at the running back position. And Leonard Fournette has a tendency to miss about 3-4 games a year with that ankle. So they're getting some depth at the running back position. Dante Jackson, Minnesota, another guy that ran a 4.32 at the combine. Obviously, Terrence Newman is getting really up there in age, and they need to get a little younger at the cornerback position. Sam Hubbard, defensive end, Ohio State, New England, at 31. Those are some of the highlights from the first round of the draft. I'll just mention a few names in the second round. Mike Gesicki, tight end from Penn State. The guy was very impressive at the combine. He's really going up to be either being – he went from a third-round pick to going in late first to early second round. I have him going 37 to the Jets. Ronald Jones, running back, USC, speedster. I have him going to Tampa at 38. Christian Kirk, wide receiver, Texas A&M. I have him going to Chicago at 39. James Washington, wide receiver, Oklahoma State. I have him going to 42 to Miami. New England got to get better on defense. Just mentioned they had take Sam Hubbard at the end of the first. They go Carlton Davis, cornerback from Auburn. Darius Geis, running back LSU, have him going to Washington, the Redskins. Nick Chubb, have him going to Green Bay in the second round. How about this, JQ? Mason Rudolph going to Cincinnati in the second round.
I'll take that.
Kerryon Johnson, running back Auburn, got him going to the Jets as well. So in this mock, we got the Jets taking Josh Rosen, Mike Gesicki, and Kerryon Johnson to help try to improve that offense. Mike Hughes, cornerback, Central Florida to Dallas. Dallas go there, tight end, South Dakota State to Detroit. DJ Chark, speedster, wide receiver from LSU, going to Baltimore. Hayden Hurst, tight end, South Carolina, going to Buffalo.
Wow.
And Arden Key, a guy who was supposed to be a top five, top ten pick, has slid down quite a bit, having gone 54 to Kansas City. And had the Falcons taking Billy Price in the second round at 58.
That would be interior offensive lineman. If that happened. I don't think that's going to happen.
And obviously, he got a torn pectoral at the combine, so he's going to fall probably to the latter second round, early third round.
Yeah. I mean, he was a higher target, too. Tell me about him, too, JQ. Is that somebody that, I mean, I know, like, is he like, how would you compare him? What's up with that?
No, he's a beast. When you see all those zone reads and those runs from Dobbins coming up the middle, the big reason for that is Billy Price moving people in the middle of that line. I think you'd be really happy with him. I think he was going to put on a show on the bench press, and he just happened to partially tear his torn pectoral muscle. But I like that for you guys. I feel like for Cincinnati, that's forcing it. I mean, I think McGlinchey is a good offensive tackle, but I think they can really use Josh Jackson. Pac-Man is already 43 years old. I mean, you know, Vita Vea is a fantastic pick for Baltimore. Yeah, I mean, he is. Yeah, Vita Vea is a fantastic pick for Baltimore in the middle of that defensive line. He is just a Ozzie Newsome kind of guy in the middle. I think that's a fantastic pick. I like, I like Derwin James, again, for that secondary for Cincinnati. Like, I like where you match people up. Calvin Ridley is a good pick for Dallas as well. The only way I could with Orlando Brown is I just have a hard time with what he just did staying in the first round. I think that's a reach if you do that. I really do. I mean, I know the tape. You shouldn't take everything off away from what you see the tape. But, oh, my God, if anybody has had a worse combine in the history of combines, I can't think of their name right now. And also, that was awful. That was awful. I mean, I just can't even quantify how bad that was. That was awful.
Mm-hmm.
I love Lamar Jackson to Arizona. I think that would be a perfect match. I think that's a great match for Arizona.
Larry Tunsil may have had a worse one, but go ahead.
No. I mean, that's pretty much where it was. He outlined it when he was talking through him. I think he did a really good job on this post-combine matching value up to need. For these teams.
Yeah.
So, good job, Rod. I wish I can't quibble with a whole lot.
Yeah. Yep. And like I said, it's been a good draft because, again, we've made a couple updates, and we're still not going to see everything until we get into the draft because there's been a lot of moving pieces. Like you said, some things are starting to come into play. As we talked about, once, we get Kirk Cousins kind of solidified, we'll figure that out. And then, as mentioned, then we'll kind of figure out exactly – if anyone was stupid enough to do anything dumb during the combine, if they're going to drop, and then we'll kind of go from there. But like you talked about, good job with blocking the Browns and what they're going to do because they got a ton of picks. Hopefully they'll get it right. Like I said, I don't know a lot about – I got to read up on Billy Price and if that happens because I don't know how far he's going to fall. That'd be awesome. We get we may be looking at defensive tackle in that first round, Rob, and then we're going to come back around and get the guard, and then we'll figure that out from there too. But, yeah. How we pull this off, it's going to be exciting, and I'm excited about that. All right, gentlemen, it's been a good show. If there's anything else you want to talk about, I'm going to let you have the floor, and then we'll wrap this up. So, JQ, anything you want to say, we'll get ready to wrap this bad boy up.
Oh, no, man. Like I said, I appreciate Rob. That draft, as I was looking at it as he was talking, is a really good match. I can see, at least three-fourths of those things happening just like that. You might stay with that one, Rob, and that might be a moneymaker there. You might want to enter that one into a pool or something. But not outside of that, I'm interested to see, the first wave of free agency. And some of these pro days, you know, like Sam Darnold actually throwing because, you know, the quarterbacks generally don't throw as much at the combine. And I know it's going to be scripted, but, you know, some of these guys that had a bad one, Orlando Brown has to have the greatest pro day of all pro days ever, pro day-ish in the pro day history. Like, he's got to have a day that he can write home and tell his mama about because what he did at the combine was so bad that his pro day has to just be out the park. I mean, there can be no question about it. But outside of that, no, not really. I appreciate y'all.
I'm making pretty good about that. Yeah. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah. And you know, obviously, the unique thing about the NFL is that, you know, free agency comes before the draft. So a lot of that's going to depend on what these teams do in the draft, too. What needs do they address in free agency? And so going forward, I mean, that's going to be really interesting to see how free agency is going to change the landscape of this draft in a lot of different positions. So we'll kind of wait and see how that goes. And I know most NFL teams, they prefer to address their needs in free agency as much as possible to be so they can be in a position to draft the best players on the board when the draft comes around. And any time you go with that best player, I think you cover yourself as opposed to reaching for a need. And we've seen teams do that historically. When you reach for a need, it comes back to bite you in the ass. But when you know, you take the best, when you draft the best players available in the draft, you know, it kind of helps you. I mean, I know we cover our own teams the best. I mean, I'll just give you a classic example. You know, the Saints had Charles Grant, Darren Howard. You think you set a defensive end, but they still took Will Smith, and he turned out to be a Pro Bowl player for them. And so, you know, you want to cover yourselves as much as possible with taking the best player available, regardless of position. So you want to try to address those needs as much as possible in free agency. Now, some positions are hard to fill in free agency. Stud quarterbacks. It's going to be hard to find a free agency. Stud corners, stud pass rushers, and stud offensive tackles. Pelicans, 10 in a row. But yeah, those positions are tough to fill. But other than that, you know, if you can fill some of your needs, it can really help you out with the draft process.
No, I very much agree.
Good call. All right, man, like I said, I'm just excited. Very good analysis, Rob. As well, I know we got NCAA basketball coming next week and whatnot too. So it's going to be as a wrap up coming back too, and then so it should be interesting to see that. But good mock draft coverage. I can't wait to see the SEC. I want to see how Michael Porter Jr. does with Missouri because he's been much hyped. So I'm kind of curious. I want to see how he lives up to that particular hype and go from there. Gentlemen, Robbie to end the show, man. Go ahead.
Cincinnati look like a 2 seed, JQ.
Yeah, man, I'm loving it. I need to keep it moving.
Yeah, congrats.
Let's go. Let's not rest on them laurels.
Yeah. So yeah, well, the brackets will be revealed on this Sunday, folks. This Sunday.
Maybe
we have
Sunday.
To out, do some kind of tournament challenge or something like that, just for the fun of it. NCAA tournament here. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in tonight. We covered a lot, NBA, NFL. We'll get you set up for March Madness on next week. We'll still talk some NBA. Obviously, we'll still talk some NFL. We are just – today is the 7th, am I correct?
Correct.
The 14th free agency kicks off a week from today, people. NFL free agency kicks off a week from today. So there's going to be a lot to talk about. NFL free agency, NFL draft, March Madness, NBA, start of baseball season here. So we got everything that's happening right now in the world of sports. And talking sports with a 12th man is the best place to catch it. Good night, people.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is. We're going to need the whole hour and a half next week. That's going to be busy.
I was trying to save us a little time here because I know you got some of you got things to do and people to see and all that fun stuff too. But, again, gentlemen, thank you for putting up with me. I apologize if I made some ill-advised dates earlier in the show, but it's always a fun time, and I'm looking forward to a good week, man. So it was fun. I was in South Carolina this past Saturday. That was a great time, too. Had a chance to have Kenny Lattimore sing at the wedding I was at, so that was pretty dope. Nice. I'm excited about that.
Wow.
And yeah.
Not a high roller's rule.
I know, right?
I didn't like that. So I didn't like that. So it's going to be interesting. So again, but I say out of that, I'll say that to say just a good weekend, and I'm kind of excited about the future, what's happening too. So we'll keep it rolling. Fun week. I know you guys didn't give me too much grief for my Hawks Warriors thing. That was fun. Fun game. Excellent time as that as well too, man. So again, we'll keep this going. And Rob, like I said, cannot wait. So we get ready to wrap up and see how you come with your draft too. So good week, gentlemen. And till next Wednesday, have a safe one, and keep those texts coming. Okay.
Absolutely, y'all. Great show.
Warriors jersey to the game.
You know, man. You know he's special.
I did. And I was not the only one, ironically. Believe it or not. There was a lot of us out there.
Really?
So, yeah. There was a lot of folks that were where they were like.
Did you look in the mirror before you left?
Of course I did.
Bandwagon.
Why not, man? Well, I was going for the Hawks. I was rooting for the Hawks. But then, you know, then I was like, okay.
Yeah, right.
It was good to see Steph Curry. It was good to see Durant. Now, on a serious note, if I could talk about this, it was really cool to see, like, you know, Durant and see, you know, Steph Curry play. Like, it was just good to see that, you know. And then it kind of reminded me as far as how the Hawks, we don't have any superstars to, like, cheer for, man. It was just downright disappointing, honestly.
And the Schroeder.
Just stop it.
Right.
But you know,
you stop it. Yeah.
You know he had the $65 shirt on and the $10 hat, so you know where his loyalty lies. I'm just gonna point that out.
Jake, you ain't even think about it like that.
That hat was about 25 on a serious note. That hat was about 25.
Still for $65.
He had the fresh Golden State shirt on. Like, he didn't have that, you know, worn out when, oh, I got it from my. My wife's older brother, and I just wore it because he gave it to me. Okay. See?
Yeah, the hard hat that he
put
on the hood of the car and
put
it all
on. I see. I recognize it.
And it was like, how am I going to – I was like, this is a pretty dope jersey. How am I going to pull this – I had to, like, wear it, man. It was kind of dope, man. So, you know, but –
if you wear a hard hat, the kind of hat that you wear when you're underneath the hood, you're putting in an oil change.
Right. You know, raking the leaves.
I mean, you know, y'all can talk all y'all want. You know, it is what it is. So I'm just saying, you know, I had a great time at the game. So it is what it is. So good times. And like I said, in the grand scheme of things, I do hope my Hawks can, you know, pull it off and do something. But, you know, I don't know. It's just very frustrating, to say the least. But
hey,
Marcy, game,
where am I at? I'm
going to
cut the grass. I'm messing with you. Go ahead.
On that note, good night, folks. Good night, peace. We'll see you next week. Same time, same channel. All
right.
See you crest out.
Yeah. Well,
all right,
bro.
Yeah, he's talking about foolishness. All right, y'all.
Yeah, stop this.
Hey, people.
Good night.